Wow, a lot has changed in 2 months. When I left, this virus was half a world away and somebody else's problem. Now it's our problem. And now we have to figure out how are we going to get through this situation. We've got a lot of people who are trying to give us a guidance and making sure that we're cared for, and I really appreciate all the work that Kevin has been doing to make sure that we stay connected as a body of believers. I also thank Ken and Troy for making difficult decisions when people could easily second guess. It's hard to be a leader because anybody can at any time second guess the choices that are made. We see that through the news. You know, people are always second guessing. But one of the things that we see in our life today is people have made decisions to try to keep us safe, to make sure that people that could get sick, don't get sick. And as good citizens and as good Christians, we're told to be people who listen to the advice of our leaders and to implement those things for the sake of the greater good. I heard one person say this week that I was talking to, well, it would be easy to stay at home if I wasn't told I have to. And now that I'm told I have to, I don't want to. Well, that's just our nature. That's just the way we tend to be in our life. Is if it's our choice, if it's our decision, it makes it a lot easier. But as believers in Christ, we follow his example of sacrifice for the sake of others. And this is what we are seeing today. All these different decisions are newsworthy, but what I think is newsworthy are the people who are continually having to put themselves in harm's way with an invisible threat. And that brings fear. When there's an invisible threat, we can't see it, we don't know where it is, we assume that it's everywhere. Not everywhere. One of the things I want to help you to bring some calm in this time of anxiety is that in Milwaukee County right now, there's only 0.1% of the people in Milwaukee County that have contracted the virus. And the projections from the health department is that by the time this peaks and wanes away, the number will be 0.8%. So when you think about in all of Wisconsin, the amount of people that will contract the coronavirus would fill Brewer Stadium. Well, if you don't have a ticket and you're outside, that's a pretty good deal. But we also know that there are people who put themselves in harm's way that are more likely to catch it. We keep praying for those people. And if you have the virus, the numbers don't even matter because your life is on the line from an invisible threat. So unfortunately, the people who are putting their life on the line have lost their lives, some of them. And unfortunately for that, even the people that they cared for and cared about, their death does not take away the other person's illness. He said, we have this invisible enemy that we can create lots of fear within ourselves. And the impact is wide-ranging. And when it comes to a virus, we don't see it until the symptoms come about. A cough, a fever. But there's a pandemic that's been raging our world for almost as long as man has been alive. Sin brings eternal death, not just physical death. One of the things we realize with Adam and Eve, they made a choice. When they thought that they knew better than God, they rebelled against his wisdom, against his instruction, and wanted to do it their own way. And what did it get them? Again, rebellion against leadership, against those who are trying to care for them, doesn't lead you closer to health. It leads you further away. One of the things we know about this idea of sin, it's our sinful desire that leads us astray. It's our desire to do it our way. And as it grows, we see the symptoms of that. We see people who grow increasingly hateful towards other human beings. We see people who grow more rebellious to God and His will. And when this desire becomes full-blown, it steals our life away. Jesus also told us that this whole idea of the self-love, and you know, loving yourself is a good thing because we're made and created in the image of God. It's like these people who are going into the hospitals, who are laying their lives on the line, that they are exhibiting the self-sacrifice of Christ in trying to help others when it could cost them their life. But one of the things when this self-love that is only a selfish love, in spite of what it does for others, it's a darkness. It's storing up treasures here on earth. It's forgetting the hope that God has called us to in the future. And what He tells us is that it brings a darkness to the eyes. We can't see clearly anymore. We only see ourselves. We only see our need. And actually, we're really serving the Lord of the earth and not the Lord of lords. Tolkien talks about this idea of the Lord of the Rings, and I've talked about this several times in the past. This one ring that was going to rule all rings and rule all people, and people just wanted that ring so that they could rule other people and have power. But what they didn't realize is that ring was the source for evil to penetrate the holder's heart and destroy them and to bring destruction to other people. So this thing that they saw that was a source of power was actually going to destroy them because of the one who gave it power. And we do that when our eyes are dark. We give power to things that don't bring life. And we know that there is this character Gollum, this guy who was actually a human at one time. And because of his love for this ring, this love for power, this thing that he thought was ultimately precious to him, turned him into something that was subhuman. And that's what sin does for us. When we focus on the treasures of this earth and strive to be satisfied by those things and ignore what God has called us to, it turns us into something less than human, less than what God had called us to be from the beginning. And Jesus, who is perfect and pure and leaves this place of holiness, decides to enter into this world where we have destroyed ourselves through our turning away from God. He is fully human and fully whole. And why does He do that? To bring us back to health. The actor who played Gollum is Andy Serkis. This doesn't really look like Andy Serkis right now. He had to go through a lot of makeup. There's a lot of digital manipulation that got him to look like this. But when we think about the distortion from who a fully God-created human should look like, we see this is what sin turns us into. And one of the things about Gollum at the end of the Lord of the Rings trilogy is that he is destroyed in a lake of fire, grasping on to that ring. Why would we want to be destroyed in a lake of fire, holding on to something that is only precious in this world, rather than storing up our treasure for the world that God has called us to? Self-love can easily go unnoticed, and it can manifest itself in symptoms like hoarding. We've seen that in the stores. Or it can go into just total hatred towards someone else, judgmental attitudes towards others. But one of the things we have to realize is that everybody has this disease. In Romans 3:23, we're told that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sick with this disease of sin. We all need someone to come and heal us. And there's only one remedy, and that is Jesus. And He willingly steps into our illness, to bring us life. And as I go through these slides, I want you to see the transformation of what we humans can experience because of what Jesus experienced for us. By his wounds, we have been healed. And as Jesus comes to this time of emptying himself for us, he takes on the blows that humanity's hatred towards God is serving out to him. Every time he is beaten with a staff, spit on in his face, he is taking on for us what we deserve. A crown of thorns on his head, pushed down so the blood starts trickling down his face. That blood that represents life, but is actually leaving his body, creating his death. Every blow, every wound, brings Jesus closer to his death, but brings us closer to life. For he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Totally healed human beings. This is what Jesus came for. And as he is offering himself up for us, now as Christians who are striving to be released from our prison, Jesus says that he has come to proclaim good news, to free us from our prison, a prison of our own making. And, you know, the prisons that we create are kind of nice because we're all sick and we're all diseased and we create a world that makes it not seem so bad, so that we can just get along. But Jesus wants us to be free from that self-made prison. He wants to bring recovery to the blind. And we can only do that if we realize that this God of heaven loves us deeply. His body has been stripped and mutilated. And on that cross, he looks at those who are killing him and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." Are you doing that in your life for people who you think are afflicting you? Are you being forgiving of them? Are you offering your life to them or trying to force them to be the person you want them to be? And we're told that when we give ourselves over to this Messiah, this one who died for us, that when we die with him, we are clothed with him. We put him on as a warm jacket, something that covers our scars, that has healed us from our disease. That Jesus is a man of action. And we understand that he has exchanged for us our grotesque, sin-filled life to one of glory. We respond with love, not legalism. We embrace our new standing with God in his view of ourselves, not the view of what others have of us or trying to impose on us, but we remember what God has called us to be and what he calls us, that we are his children who are whole and holy. And we prayerfully consider how we will proactively implement this reality. Do you realize that if you are Christ's child, he has healed you? Even though you don't follow perfectly, he knows that. But what he's asking us to do is follow him willingly, to take up our own cross and be for the world that he was for us. So where are you in this relationship with God? Focus more on others? Focus wholly on yourself? Are you focused on what God has done for you so that you can be a representation of God to the world and give them hope in the midst of hopelessness? This is God's desire for you. This is his plan for you, to bring you back to that relationship that we left in the garden, that we can return to him because Jesus is the way. back to Him. Let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank You so much for all that You've done for us. Father, help us to look inside ourselves, to see those places in our life that we are more like Gollum than we are more like You. Help us to commit ourselves to that transformation as You want to get into our life and make us into what You know we can be. Help us to be willing participants and be submissive to You as we try to serve You, and in so doing, serve the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray.